الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، praise due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings and to exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow him on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue with Sharh Usul al-Iman, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh, and we have made it up to the chapter dealing with the belief in the books al-Iman bi-Kutub. And for those of you who have been attending the classes regularly, I'm sure you've come to a conclusion that we have dealt with the belief in Allah, then the angels, and now the books. Al-Kutub jama' kitab bima'na maktub. Kutub is the plural of kitab, and kitab is that which is written, thus the word maktub. So whatever is written, whether you want to call it a book, or a scripture, or a scroll, all these are definitions that actually fit the word kitab. Scroll, or scripture, or book. والمراد بها هنا الكتب التي أنزلها تعالى على رسوله رحمة للقلب وهداية لهم ليصلوا بها إلى سعادتهم في الدنيا والآخرة. What is intended here, the Shaykh said, don't worry about the clock. It seems that there's always something with the clock, whether it's a khutbah on Jumu'ah, somebody moves the clock, everybody forgets about the dars and the reminder of the Quran and the Sunnah, and they get busy with the clock. Don't worry about the clock. This is there, we're investing in Jannah. Hopefully, trying to protect ourselves from Jahannam. The clock is not going to take us there. It may take us to other places, actually. Anyway, Allah musta'an. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh said, what is intended by books over here, though, not any books, because you have many books at home. You may have a bookshelf, huh? And you have a lot of books, worldly books, English books, math, geography, whatever. Well, when we're dealing with Iman, belief in books, we're speaking about the books which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down upon His servants, His messengers, as mercy from Him and means of guidance. By which we will attain the success and the happiness of this life and the life to come. Which is an indication, as we know from other verses in the Quran, that we will never truly attain sa'ada unless we follow the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. This is in the dunya. وفي الآخرة ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. Allah teaches us in the Quran this reality, whoever turns away from my remembrance, Allah speaking about the Quran or anything from the Quran and Sunnah, the whole deen of Islam, whoever turns away from the remembrance, we shall guarantee him a miserable life. This is a promise from Allah. Ma'ishatan banka, miserable life, stress. Even if they got a lot of money, you know, we mentioned this before, that some billionaire, someone who's one of the wealthiest people in the world, he lost some business. He went from rank number maybe 17 in the world to number 30. He committed suicide. He was no longer as rich. He was the 17th maybe in worldwide, the richest person in the whole world. He lost some business during this economy stress that we've had recently. And because he lost some money, he's still a billionaire. He's still on the list of the most rich people. He committed suicide. So you say, if someone had this kind of money, is it possible that you would live, you would just kill yourself? I mean, how much could you do with money? You could do whatever you want, but you cannot bring sa'ada, happiness. So this is the reality that we must understand from the Quran. Whoever turns away from the remembrance, the deen of Islam, he would surely lead a miserable life. This is in this life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And we will bring him with the rest of the creation on the Day of Judgment, blind. Blind. So, because he used to see in the dunya, his vision was 20-20 as they say, huh? He could see from here all the way at the end of the masjid. He will question and say, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِ أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Why am I blind? He will say that person on the Day of Judgment. Why am I blind today? Although I used to see in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that such our verses, our signs, our reminders came to you and you forgot about them. And as such today you will be forgotten. يعني تمت دين تدان جزاء وفاقا. The way you treat, you will be treated in equal recompense. The ayat came to you, you fell asleep, you forgot about them, and on the Day of Judgment, excuse me, then you will be forgotten about. Not that Allah will forget him, Allah Azza wa Jalla ya'lam kul shay, Allah knows everything. But he would be ignored in the punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us from the punishment. So the Quran then and the revelation is means for happiness in the dunya and in the year after. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْكُتُبِ يَتَضَمَّنُ أَرْبَعَةَ أُمُورٍ. Belief in the books comprises four matters. You notice many things comprise four matters. I hope you will get this down. الأول الإيمان بأن نزولها من عند الله حقا. First, to believe that it was sent down from Allah in truth. It is really from Allah. You cannot have a doubt. You cannot doubt that this Quran, this Mus'haf, is it from Allah, is it not from Allah? No such thing. If you have such a doubt, you're no longer a Muslim. This is from the things of yaqeen, yaqeeniyya, things that we have with certainty. You know, that this book is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah says, verily we are sent down the remembrance of the Qur'an, the dhikr. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we shall be protecting it. For 1400 years, no matter how much they plotted against Islam. You know, the non-Muslims, they don't exactly like us. They hate us, whether Hindus or Buddhists or Christians or Jews. You see, everybody in the world, they must get a Muslim. But with everything that they can do, they cannot touch the Qur'an. Huh? So much so, that even if they were able to get all the physical copies of the Qur'an, let's assume that the disbelievers plotted. Okay? They said, we're going to destroy all of the Qur'an, all of the books, the masahif that we have. And somehow they were able to do so. They collected all of the masahif from every single house, every single masjid, every single country. Until there was no more Mus'haf. Would the Qur'an go away? What do we do? Huh? Halakat al-tahfiz? We bring 2 10-year-old children, 11-year-old, 12-year-old child, huh? Maybe non-Arab, and we say, please, go ahead. And he will begin, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We'll write the whole Qur'an right back, right afterwards. The next day, we will publish it again. They cannot do this. No other book in the world. If they take away the books right now from any other book in the world, the people won't know where to get it from. They will not know where to get it from. Does anyone have the Bible memorized? Nobody memorized. They don't even know 10 verses altogether. So this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Quran given to us, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a blessing that we were not even among the followers of other prophets, which is also good, but not as good as this one. This is the best. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah make us among those who are thankful. طيب. الثاني الإيمان بما علمنا اسمه منها باسمه كالقرآن الذي نزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتوراة التي أنزلت على موسى صلى الله عليه وسلم والإنجيل الذي أنزل على عيسى صلى الله عليه وسلم والزبور الذي أوتيه داود صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأما ما لم نعلم اسمه فنؤمن به إجمالا. Secondly, that we believe in whatever we know of their names, such as the Qur'an, which was sent upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Torah was sent upon Moses, and the Gospel, the Injil, was sent upon Jesus. Now there's a point that I want to clarify here, is that the Bible that they have today is not the Gospel of Isa. It's not the Gospel of Isa. Actually, the Gospel of Isa doesn't exist. The Bible that they have today is a compilation of the Al-Ahd al-Qadim wal-Ahd al-Jadid, what they call the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is supposedly the books that were given to Moses, or according to them, they were written by Moses, and it's also false, because in it, it mentions that Moses died. Can you write a book? And then, how are you going to write a book and then you say that you died? If you died, then you can't write the book anymore. But anyway, they have some strange things that they claim anyway. They say, okay, whatever, we're going to believe that anyway. And the New Testament is actually the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Luke and John. It says the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel. There's no Gospel of Jesus. In Jin Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, we don't have. We may have some leftover. Some verses which are in agreement with the Islamic teaching, which we say these may be actually from what Jesus was teaching, peace be upon him. Some of the things that he was preaching. But in totality, we don't have the Gospel of Jesus. And Psalms, which was given to David. Now Psalms begins with a P. Sometimes it's silent. Allahu a'lam whether it's silent or not. Maybe Psalms or Psalms, which is the Zabur, which was given to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. And there are others that we don't know their names. Other scriptures, we believe in them in general. الثالث تصديق ما صح من أخبارها كأخبار القرآن وأخبار ما لم يبدل أو يحرف من الكتب السابقة. Believing in whatever has been confirmed in these scriptures. Now the only one which is a reliable reference is the Quran. The only one that you don't have to check the sanad of the ayah. So let me see who narrated this ayah. Like the hadith. I mean the hadith you have to verify. Is this attributable to the Prophet ﷺ? Did he say that? Is this sahih, hasan? Or is this something that we should reject? Because people eventually fabricated narrations on behalf of him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is not the case with the Quran. The sanad is muttasil, mutawadir. It's abundantly recited by many people, where it is inconceivable that there would be any deficiency in the chain of narrators, memorized, preserved up until today. But other scriptures, we don't have this, which is what you mentioned earlier. So the Shaykh said, and we believe whatever contains, the older scriptures contain, as long as it has not been distorted or tampered with. Yani people did not change it. And Allah told us that يحرفون الكلم عن مواضعه. They deliberately misinterpret the verses, or they change them, whether in linguistically or in the interpretation. They're known for doing this particular thing. This is the quality of the disbelievers.
الرابع العلم بأحكام ما لم ينسخ منها والرضا والتسليم به سواء فهمنا حكمته أم لم نفهمها.
Fourthly, believing and putting into practice the prohibitions and the commandments that we find, except those which have been abrogated. Now, if you may know the nasikh wal mansukh, the abrogator and the abrogated, which basically means overruling. Yani, when there is a particular ruling in Islam during some period in time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals another ruling which does away with the old one. Like drinking alcohol. Drinking alcohol, intoxicants, was only became forbidden towards the end of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the beginning, it was still done. There were verses in the Quran saying, do not approach the salah while you are intoxicated until you know what you were saying. So the initial ruling was, only during salah time, you don't approach, you don't approach the salah while intoxicated, because it was still valid. Then finally it came, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ, that really that intoxicants and gambling are from the handiwork, the abomination of the handiwork of Satan, so avoid it strictly, so you may be successful. Really the shaitan wants to cause problems between the believers and keeps us away from the remembrance of Allah and establishing the salah. Now says, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ, are you going to stop, desist? When this particular verse was revealed, some of the companions had the cup of alcohol to his mouth. And when they heard this verse, he didn't even drink it. He spilled it on the ground. Maybe some of us will say, Allah, the last one, huh? The last one. They didn't do that. على طول سمعنا وأطعنا. We listen, we obey. They spilled it on the ground. They say there were rivers in Medina, rivers of alcohol. They had to break all the jars that they had when this verse was revealed. So this is an example of al-mansukh, abrogated, where one ruling was valid and then another ruling was revealed which abrogates or erases the older one. So the Shaykh said that we believe we put into practice the rulings except that which has been abrogated. And we submit with pleasure to whatever it contains, whether we understand the wisdom behind it or whether we don't. Because people's understanding varies. It differs. Some brother may understand the wisdom behind a prohibition and another one may not. So we don't put our intellect in between. Say, wallah, because I don't know. Like for example, tell the believing men to lower their gaze. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. Allah says, tell the believing men to lower their gaze. When they see women, you get some people who want to rationalize. They say, أخي, أنا my intention is clean. أنا when I look at women, I don't feel the way other people feel. I'm only looking at her because I'm just trying to be respectful when I'm speaking to her, looking her eye in the eye. So this, يعني, I don't understand the wisdom. What's the wisdom behind me not looking at a woman? So we say to this individual, this is not acceptable. This is not submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows the wisdom. The rulings of Islam, they're not for one individual, two individuals, exceptions. They come to the general masses. Predominantly, it's a fitna. So then you implement. So we don't inject our ideologies to oppose the Quranic teachings. This is misguidance. This is hawa, desire. Following desires. And those who follow the desires will never be successful. As it was stated in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب وجميع الكتب السابقة منسوخة بالقرآن العظيم بالقرآن العظيم قال الله تعالى وأنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب ومهيمنا عليه. The Shaykh said, and all of the previous scriptures have been abrogated by the Quran. By the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, we have sent down upon you the book, the Quran in truth, confirming that which was sent before it, and muhaiminan alayh, dominant over it. It has dominance. It overrules it. So any ruling that opposes what we have in the Quran and Sunnah from the previous scriptures, you cannot work in accordance with it. For example, during the time of Yusuf, alayhi salatu salam, it was lawful for them to do sujood to someone else as means of respect. Right or wrong? His dream was that the sun and the moon and the kawakib, the planet, they will fall in sujood for him. That was his ru'ya. Then it became real when he put his family up on the arsh, on the throne, and they all fell in sujood. Now this is not part of Islam anymore. This was acceptable during their time. It's not acceptable anymore. The Quran abrogates that. Of course, we understand, everybody understands, it wasn't sujood of ibadah. They were not worshipping Yusuf alayhi salam. This is nonsensical. We know that they were all tawheed, the people of tawheed, worshipping Allah alone. But during their time, this was means of respect. In our time, no more the case. This is no longer the case. So then the Quran abrogates the previous rulings. الشيخ سيد أي حاكم عليه وعلى هذا فلا يجوز العمل بأي حكم من أحكام الكتب السابقة إلا ما صح منها وأقره القرآن. So in conclusion, it is not permissible to put into practice any of the teachings of the previous scriptures except that which has been approved by the Quran and acknowledged by it. والإيمان بالكتب يثمر ثمرات جليلة منها. Belief in the scriptures brings about beneficial, practical benefits. يعني things that we can benefit in our daily lives. الأول العلم بعناية الله تعالى بعباده حيث أنزل لكل قوم كتابا يهديهم به. First, the practical benefit that we get from this belief in the books is the having knowledge of the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that He sent down upon all of His servants. Every group of people, they receive a book in order to be means of guidance for them. scripture to be means of guidance for them. Which is what they say, يعني الله عز وجل لم يترك الخلق سدى. Allah does not leave His creation unattended. We don't know where to go, we don't know what to believe, we don't know how to worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always given His creation means of guidance, the acts of worship and everything they need to be successful. Some people turn away and some people accept. الثاني العلم بحكمة الله تعالى في شرعه حيث شرع لكل قوم ما يناسب أحوالهم كما قال تعالى لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة شرعة ومنهاجا سورة المائدة verse 48. First, having knowledge of the wisdom of Allah سبحانه وتعالى in legislating that He gave each group of people a law, a divine law that is suitable for them. As Allah says in the Quran, and to each among you, to each nation, we have prescribed a law and a clear way. For each nation, there was a law for them to follow and a clear way, a sirat mustaqim, that will lead them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثالثة شكر نعمة الله لذلك. Thirdly, to be thankful to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the sending down of the scriptures. And how do we show thankfulness? We mentioned before, showing thankfulness is not just saying, you know, shukr lillah, alhamdulillah. This is one aspect of it. It must be accompanied with acknowledgement of the heart and then putting the things into practice. Yani, using them to obey Allah. Putting the Quran into practice, not just a book to recite, rather we must understand what is intended. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. Allah told us one of the objectives of sending down the Quran, a book we have sent down upon you, O Muhammad, blessed. Why? ليتدبروا آياته, so they may reflect and ponder upon its verses. وليتذكر أولو الألباب. And the people with the right understanding, they will take a reminder from the Quran. That's the objective of the Quran. As one of the righteous predecessors said, Allah sent down the Quran, He sent down the Quran for people to work according to it. So the people took the recitation of it as work. The Quran was sent down for people to work according to the teachings. So some people made the recitation of the Quran their work. All they did is tajweed and makharij al-huruf and the very intricate details. But then they don't know what they're reciting, they don't put it into practice. Matter of fact, they live against it. The Quran says this, and they do the exact opposite. But he recites the ayah very beautifully. So we say this is not why Allah sent down the Quran. And this will be a hujjah on these people, it will be a proof against these people who will recite the book of Allah, then go against it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from deviance. So this actually is a small chapter, the belief in the books. Moving on, we will deal with the al-iman bi rusuli. Belief in the messengers. Believe in the messengers. الرسل جمع رسول بمعنى مرسل أي مبعوث بإبلاغ شيء. رسل is the plural of رسول. They say محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. رسول is a messenger. يعني بمعنى مرسل, meaning one who is sent. And usually مبعوث, he is sent to convey something. When you send someone to convey a message, then he becomes a messenger. رسول. طيب. والمراد, this is linguistically, لغة. شرعا, والمراد هنا من أوحي إليه من البشر بشرع وأمر بتبليغه. What is intended here, the Shaykh said, is whomever has received revelation from Allah among the creation, among the humans, and he was commanded to convey it to the people. This is the Rasul. Someone who receives revelation, but not only that, the one who receives revelation is what? The one who only receives revelation is what?
Messenger.
لا.
Prophet.
أيوة, prophet, which is what in Arabic?
Nabi.
This is the difference between a Nabi and Rasul. A Nabi is someone who has received revelation from Allah, inspiration from Allah. He is divinely contacted through Jibreel or otherwise. This is a Nabi. But a Rasul is someone who's given a shari', who's given a law, a new law, and he is commanded to convey it to the people. Otherwise, many prophets, many anbiya came to rule with the Torah. Right? The Torah was existent, given to Moses, and many prophets came They didn't bring a new law. They only revived the teachings of the Torah. So these are called Anbiya, Nabi, and not Rasul. Rasul is one who is sent, Nabi man nubbit, the one who has been given revelation or inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we know the difference. I'm going to ask you next week inshallah. And if we all stay alive. And if you don't know, I'm not going to do anything. But you know, just trying to make sure that you remember. Nabi then, someone who has received revelation but is not commanded to convey it to the people. He may be ruling according to a pre-existing revelation. Rasul, he gets a new law, new shari', new act of worship or something along these lines, and he is commanded to convey it to the people. Bye. Well, who's the first of the messengers? Huh? Who said Adam?
Who
said Adam? We have many people saying Adam. Adam is the first Rasul?
Prophet. Nuh
is the Messenger. Nuh. Adam is the first Prophet. See, that's why we need to know the difference between Nabi and Rasul. The first Nabi is Adam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him and he received revelation from Allah as to how to live on this life. You know, he was inspired to repent to Allah. He repented to Allah. He taught his children Tawheed. You know, that there was Tawheed. There was no shirk actually. Everything was good until the shaitan purified to the people, worshipping statues in the form of human beings that were righteous. You know the story. But nonetheless, Adam was the first Nabi. The first Rasul was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is in the Quran. وَأَوَّلْ رُسُلْ نُوحْ وَآخِرُهُمْ And who's the last? Hey, this one you can't make a mistake, man. If you make a mistake with this one, you need to leave the masjid. Somebody tell me the last Rasul is Isa. Say, no, you can't do that. The last Rasul is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khatam al-Nabiyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب. قال الله تعالى إنا أوحينا إليك كما أوحينا إلى نوح والنبيين من بعده. In Surah An-Nisa, verse 163, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, interpretation of the meaning in English, verily we have inspired you as we have inspired Nuh and the prophets who came after. So then the Prophet ﷺ was given like Nuh, and Allah says, Al-Nadina min Ba'di, those who came after Nuh, meaning Nuh was the first. Adam was not mentioned here. Actually, the evidence that Adam is a Nabi is from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He was asked and he made the declaration that Adam is a Nabi. Now, وَفِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي عَنْ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فِي حَدِيثِ الشَّفَاعَةِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَكَرَ أَنَّ النَّاسَ يَأْتُونَ إِلَى آدَمَ لِيَشْفَعَ لَهُمْ فَيَعْتَذِرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَقُولْ اُئْتُوا نُوحًا أَوَّلَ رَسُولْ بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ وَذَكَرَ تَمَامَ الْحَدِيثِ In Sahih Bukhari, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, in the hadith of Shafa'ah. And Shafa'ah is, does anyone know the English word?
Recommendation.
Shafa'ah.
Shafa'ah.
No, not Shifa. No. Shifa, Yashfi is cure and treatment. Shafa'ah with a ayn. Yashfa.
Recommendation.
One will be in this session. Intercession. To intercede. What is intercede? Give you a worldly example. I know the Imam of the Masjid, and you want to deliver a message to the Imam of the Masjid. You don't know him personally, and you know you want him to do something for you. So you come through me as a Shafi'. I will intercede for you on your behalf with him. Say, Akhi, this brother, I know him personally. He's really in need, such and such and such. So I become a Shafi'ah for you. This is what is the general meaning of intercession. Of course, Islamically, it contains more meanings. And it is not everybody can be a Shafi'ah. There are rules and conditions which we will deal with, inshallah, in future books. The rulings regarding Shafa'ah and who is qualified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid some conditions, strict conditions about who will be allowed to give Shafa'ah and who is qualified to receive Shafa'ah. Not everyone. And there's a major shafa'ah, minor shafa'ah, specific shafa'ah, general shafa'ah. All these are actually discussed in the books that deal with the shafa'ah in detail. Anywho, shafa'ah is intercession. Shafi' is intercessor, the one who intercedes on your behalf. In the hadith of shafa'ah, the shafa'ah here of who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that the people will come to Adam you know, the people we mentioned, they will be waiting for 50,000 years under the scorching heat. The sun will be right above their head, and they will get fed up. They will no longer be able to bear the agony and the pain and the difficulty of waiting for the judgment. This is all before the judgment begins. This is before the hisab. This is just after the resurrection, while people are waiting. Of course, we mentioned the 700 shade of Allah. We mentioned some of the brothers, mashallah, I think, starting to put this into practice. Some of the brothers here are becoming among those who their hearts are attached to the masjid. Inshallah ta'ala, may Allah keep them on this path and make us join them on their journey. Nonetheless, this day will be very stressful. So then the people will say, let's find someone who will intercede for us. For what? To enter Jannah? No. They know that there's no Jannah for them. At that point, they know that they're among the people of the fire. Just so the day of judgment can begin. So they would go to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam for the hadith, and Adam will apologize to them. He will say, go to Nuh, the first messenger that Allah sent to the people. So here's the evidence from the sunnah, from the hadith, that the first messenger that Allah sent to the people was Nuh. And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam apologized. He was not a port. Of course, Nuh will apologize, send them to Ibrahim and to Isa, Musa. Then they will send them to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, who will say, أَنَا لَهَا, I am for it. And he will intercede for all of the creation for the day of judgment to begin. So those who curse him today, and those who insult him today, and those who speak ill of him ﷺ today, it's by his intercession and the will of Allah that the judgment will begin for them. So he's still a mercy for them. As Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةَ الْعَالَمِينَ. He's still mercy, even on that day. They will go to the fire, they will get what they deserve for their disbelief. But he, عليه الصلاة والسلام, is mercy to the creation. Even on the day of judgment, he will intercede for everyone for the day of judgment to begin. Then of course he will intercede for the believers. But which believers? Anyone? All believers or only those who follow the sunnah? The people of bid'ah, the people of innovation, they'll be disqualified. Huh? You know the hadith, when he'll be around the house, the lake, that the Prophet ﷺ will be there and he will be giving water to the believers. They will never be thirsty after they drink from that particular water. The angels will also be present. Some of the Muslims will come approaching him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the angels will hold them back. So he will say, Ummati, my nation, my brothers, Ikhwan, why are you holding them back? They will say, you do not know what they introduced, what they innovated into this deen after you left. He will say, Suhkan, Suhkan, may they be destroyed, may they be destroyed. Dangerous. At that point, he doesn't want them either. He doesn't want those who claim that they know better than him. Because when you innovate into his deen, you're claiming that you are more knowledgeable than the Prophet ﷺ, meaning he didn't do his job. And we'll take a few minutes to speak about Mawlid, the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ, this commonly widespread act that is reprehensible. It is an insult to the Quran and to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and to the Sahaba and to the Tabi'een and to the Imma. It's an insult to everyone who loves the Sunnah. Some of our brothers, may Allah guide them, who think that they're going to come close to Allah through something that is not legislated. And they fail to understand that Allah says, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today, on that day, the day of Arafah, I have perfected your religion for you. So if the deen was perfect, then we look, was the Prophet ﷺ celebrating his birthday during this time of revelation? Because if it was, that was perfection. If that was being practiced, that is perfection. If it wasn't there, and then you add it later, it's no longer perfect. Because you cannot have 100% and 105% and say both are perfect. The 100% is during the time of revelation. You want to add 0.5% afterwards, it's no longer perfect. Akhi, you are over. You are overrated. You're over the dosage that we need. And it's not even 0.5%, it's 50% addition, this celebration. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. He didn't recommend to the people to do it. His companions who loved him, as the brother was given a talk after Asr, way more than we would ever love him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They understood. They never did it. So why do we come after all these years? And you know, it was introduced by who? By the Shia, by the Fatimiyya. And then it was put into practice 7 centuries. At the end of the 6th century, the beginning of the 7th century, yani 700 years after Prophet ﷺ, people started celebrating the Mawlid. Do you want to do something that they didn't do for 600 years? Subhanallah al-Azim. And we want to get closer to Allah through something that He did not legislate, then this is not going to work. So my brothers, this particular act is claiming that Prophet ﷺ betrayed the message of Islam. Either you know more than him, or you say that he cheated us, the Muslims. He said there is nothing that will get you to Jannah. Nothing that will get you to Jannah except that I told you about it. And there's nothing that will protect you from the fire except that I warned you against it. SubhanAllah, you want to add something afterwards? Meaning if the Mawlid was going to take you to Jannah, and he didn't say that, you're saying that he was lying when he said this hadith. So people have to understand what the actions entail. Sometimes the act that you do, the shaitan will adorn it so it will look good outside. But it entails a lot of violations, a lot of prohibitions, a lot of innovations within the byproduct or the consequence of this act. They say we love the Prophet ﷺ, we like to, we like to remember him. If you love him, follow him. Al-hubb huwa al-ittiba', love is following. Allah made this in the Quran the way. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, if you claim that you love Allah, then follow me. So Allah made love conditional to ittiba', following. He didn't do it, then you don't do it. Now you say, my country, my Mawlana, my Shaykh, my this, but we continue to add buts and buts and buts. Because, ya akhi, the deen is simple, it's the sunnah. Either he did it or he didn't do it. Case closed. We don't care what the people do. What the people do is not what we will be asked about on the Day of Judgment. We will be asked about how did we react, to the revelation. So yes, people do it today. We love them for the sake of Allah. We know that they may have some shortcomings. We try to educate them. We try to guide them. We don't also want to become put people down. We want to be moderate. Of course, many people don't know. The whole country celebrates it. So they think this is just the norm. This is the normal thing to do. So they go with the flow. InshaAllah, those people with these intentions, may Allah reward them and pardon them for not knowing better. We're talking about those who know that this is not from the sunnah. And they already understand this, but they just continue to do it because they're afraid of their family, or they're afraid of the culture, or they're afraid of what have you. This is inexcusable, ya akhwan. And so if you really love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he didn't celebrate his birthday, then you will do what he did, not celebrate his birthday. Wallah, if he did it, no one will speak. We will be the first. We will have a big party. If he did it. But he didn't do it. So what's the big deal? We leave it alone. He left it alone, we leave it alone. The Sahaba left it alone, we leave it alone. Look at the Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad. See where you find this Mawlid in the Kutub, in the books of fiqh. There's no mention of it. It doesn't exist. So it's a bid'ah. It's an innovation. People think that you, when you say this, you're extremist between them and Allah. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will judge them regarding claiming that the one who follows the Sunnah is an extremist. Or they say you don't love the Prophet. If you don't celebrate the Mawlid, you don't love the Prophet. Wallah, they love the Prophet 10 times more than you. But because of their love, they go with the Sunnah. If it takes you right, you go right. If it takes you left, you go left. If it keeps you standing, you don't move. That's just the attitude that we have. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu musta'an. Then, this was the status of the Prophet ﷺ regarding intercession. Nuh was the first messenger sent. وقال الله تعالى في محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. سورة الأحزاب verse 40. Allah said, Muhammad was not the father of any man among you. Rather, he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of all prophets. So now these are the two evidence why Nuh was the first and the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the last. خاتم النبيين. خاتم to seal to conclude, to close up something. خلاص, it's مختوم, you don't open it again. It's done. نعم.
ولم تخل أمة من رسول يبعثه الله تعالى بشريعة مستقلة إلى قومه أو نبي يوحى إليه بشريعة من قبله ليجددها. قال الله تعالى: ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت.
The Shaykh said, and there hasn't been a nation that came before us except that a messenger was sent to them by Allah, either with a new divine code, divine law, to his people, or a prophet who has received revelation in order to revive the pre-existing scripture, which is the Nabi. He comes and he rules with what already exists. He doesn't get something new. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Nahl, verse 26, And we have sent among every nation a messenger, proclaiming that you should worship Allah and avoid a taghut. Taghut is any false deity, any false god. Shaitan is on the top of the list. Then the idols and the statues, anything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance to the people.
وقال تعالى وإن من أمة إلا خلا فيها نذير. سورة فاطر, verse 24, Allah says,
there was no ummah but a warner passed among them. Every ummah then received a warner, someone who gives them warning of the punishment of Allah and glad tidings of the reward of Allah based on their belief or rejection of belief.
وقال تعالى إن أنزلنا التوراة فيها هدى ونور يحكم بها النبيون الذين أسلموا للذين هادوا.
Allah says, verily we have sent down the Torah, therein guidance and light, by which the prophets who have submitted to Allah judge the Jews through the Torah. So it was Musa and those who came after Musa using the Torah as their shari', as their law, judging the children of Israel until Isa was given the Injil, and then the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was given the Quran, and the Quran abrogated everything else. Everything else became void. No Jew can remain a Jew, no Christian can remain a Christian. None of this stuff unless they follow the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
والرسل بشر مخلوقون ليس لهم من خصائص الربوبية والألوهية شيء. قال الله تعالى عن نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم: وهو سيد الرسل وأعظمهم جاها عند الله. قل لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا إلا ما شاء الله ولو كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء إن أنا إلا نذير وبشير لقوم يؤمنون.
The Shaykh said, and the messengers are human beings that are created. Huh? They do not possess any of the qualities of the rububiyyah, the lordship, or uluhiyyah, or yani divine attributes. They don't have any divine attributes like that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the best of all messengers. And he is the greatest in honor with Allah. He told them in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, verse 188, say to the people, this is for those who worship him, those who go to the Masjid al-Nabawi and make dua for him. Let them read this verse. Inshallah, no one here is among these guys. Say, I do not possess for myself any benefit or harm, except what Allah wills. Then look what he said. And had I known the unseen, had I known the future, I would have gained a lot of wealth. I would have had an abundance of wealth. If you knew what was going to happen in the market, then you know what to buy, you know what to do, but you'll just be a billionaire. Huh? But no one knows what's going to happen. The Prophet ﷺ did not know that either. لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. I would have had an abundance of wealth. وَمَا مَسْيَنِيَ السُّوءَ. And no evil would have touched me. He عليه السلام was poisoned by the Jews. He was afflicted with calamities during the battles. He was afflicted with the death of the children. He suffered as we suffer. If he knew the unseen, he would avoid anything that would cause. If he knew that his son was going to die, then he wouldn't even get married. If he knew that in this battle he was going to get hit on his face, he wouldn't partake in it. So obviously if someone knew the unseen, he would protect himself. But he, alayhi salam, did not know except what Allah told him about the things that would happen to the ummah or on the day of judgment, revelation from Allah. Not knowing the ghaib in the ultimate sense as it is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, verily I am nothing but warner and a giver of glad tidings to people who believe. This is what he did, Aisha Salam. He told us what pleases Allah, so we can do it, and what displeases Allah, so we can avoid it. And I will postpone the discussion regarding this, the continuation of our belief in the messengers, till next week, inshallah, so the brothers will not get too tired. I know that Isha is coming a little later now. But I will make an announcement, inshallah, after I close these down. Just one second. SubhanAllah.